We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey guys, Andrew Claudio here with a quick programming note. This is part 3 of our special Tuesday morning 3-part episode all about Donovan Mitchell. The cap or no cap, the Donovan Mitchell plan. If you haven't listened to parts 1 and 2, please go refresh your podcast feed and make sure that you don't listen to these episodes out of order, because you're going to be so confused when you tune in to hear us talk about Donovan Mitchell and hear part 3, and we don't talk about Donovan Mitchell, because here in part 3, the cap or no cap for part 1 and 2 are over, and it's my producer's corner. And for producer's corner, and I want to get this straight. I emphasize this at the top of the conversation you're about to hear, but this is a spoiler-filled review of Spider-Man, no, Doctor Strange. I'm leaving all this in. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. John and Jeremy and I all saw it. I saw it 3 different times, partially because I wanted to, partially because I had people in my life who wanted to see it, so I made sure I saw it with them, and partially because, final review, we did a spoiler-filled podcast for you to listen to, as well as a non-spoiler-filled episode over on the Invention of Dreams YouTube channel and the Final Review podcast feed. So in the episodes you're about to hear, though, John and Jeremy give their thoughts on the movie, some of the spoiler filled plot points that they enjoyed or didn't enjoy. I jumped in with some thoughts as well. Then before we wrapped up, we made a big show announcement from Jeremy that I think you guys are going to be excited about later this week. And of course, we wished the Mac Man himself a happy birthday. As you're listening to this, as the intro music to the KFS pod is being played, do me a favor, head on over to Twitter. Yes, twitter.com. And wish John a happy birthday. I know we love him and his defensive Tibbs and how stern he can be sometimes in that defense. Well, guess what? I'm going to defend one of my best friends and say that he deserves all the birthday wishes that you can possibly give him today. So head on over head on over to Twitter and wish John a very happy birthday. Okay, I think that is a long enough programming note. Here it is, part 3 of our special 3-part episode. Enjoy.
want everybody that can hear my voice on this podcast or watching this on YouTube to clearly hear me and recognize what I'm about to say. We are going for Producer's Corner to talk about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, full spoilers. As in, if you haven't seen the movie and don't want it spoiled for you, we're talking about the movie in full plot details. Again, full spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie, thank you for listening to this two-part episode or watching this two-part episode. Come back when you've seen it. This will also be a breakout clip you can watch later. I think I've made this clear, right? So nobody can get mad at me on Twitter later. Okay. Oz and I have already given our thoughts on this movie. You can head over to the Adventure Dreams YouTube channel, the Final Review podcast feed. I'll give a few thoughts with the guys. But John and Jeremy, your spoiler-filled thoughts. John, what are you watching?
The basketball game that's on right now.
You keep turning your head during your podcast.
Focus, Jonathan.
What are you doing?
I'm endlessly. Boston Milwaukee game's going on right now. It's okay. A great game.
Nick's Film School podcast going on too. What are your thoughts of the on the movie on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness?
I'll try to be brief because I'm actually not even going to spoil anything. Like, I think the spoilers are relevant, but to me, I could sum up my thoughts about the movie in a sentence, which is to say that it is the most comic book movie of any of the movies that Marvel has done, and I think it is like watching a comic book on a play out on screen. I think they did it really well. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I only saw it once. I would love to see it again. And then just one really, I'll try to make this brief, overarching thought. I thought of it as we were on our text chain talking about Jokic winning the MVP this season. And shout out to Yash, our buddy, who was like, I think this is ridiculous. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo was clearly the best player in the league, you know, and his point was kind of like, we're overthinking this. Mm-hmm. And look, I get the issues that this movie, like, is this a perfect movie? No, it is not a perfect movie. That there are places where it could have been done better, and it's a little over the place. And, like, you know, it is kind of evident that there was a director that was like fired at some point during the production. You know, but like I came home before and I had like 20 minutes to kill. I was watching the baby and I turned on like WandaVision and I was watching that. And I'm like, man, the MCU boy, like, they go and they produce a television show that's like, we're going to do a play on like sitcoms throughout history. And then we're going to go from that directly into this movie in which we take the main character from that show and we make her the bad guy. And it works because she's fucking cool and it's badass and the whole thing. Like, is it possible we're just overthinking this shit? Like, these people who make these films, TV shows, whatever, is it perfect? No, but my Lord, do they make an entertaining product? And this was yet another example of what I at least consider to be an extraordinarily entertaining couple hours of the movies, and I enjoyed myself. I would strongly recommend everybody to go see it. And the spoilers were fun.
Yes, even though you don't want to talk about it. Come on,
what can I say about it?
John Krasinski showed up on screen for you, John.
That was the thing I had read about beforehand. I told you this.
I knew
Patrick Stewart from the commercial. My biggest pop was probably Captain. What did they call her in this? Captain Britain
Captain Carter. Yeah.
That was really cool because I've been watching intermittently like the Agent Carter show over like the last like year when I have like again, I need like background. I like her a lot. I think she's really cool, and I took that episode of What If too. So I thought that was pretty cool to see her.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, first, John, did you happen to see what Elizabeth Olsen said today, yesterday? Just about?
No.
So she said similarly about how, like, look, you don't have to love art or like Marvel and consider it art or highbrow or whatever it is.
Oh, but I didn't even see
the people who have worked on the show, specifically design and makeup and cinematography, all these different things, like, it undermines their abilities by just saying like, oh, I hate Marvel, it sucks. And I thought that was, again, like, the work that people put into in show business is incredible. So I appreciate her saying it, but I mean, I left this movie really hungry for string cheese.
Oh, because yeah, just
that's
yes,
funny.
Wanted string cheese.
That was a scene. Yes.
Yes. I really enjoyed it. You know, there was something that I saw. I avoided all the spoilers before going in, but I saw the five movies that came out for Phase 4. And honestly, it was the fourth best one, which doesn't feel right, at least in my opinion, but doesn't feel right because I really enjoyed it. I have, for what it's worth, No Way Home. Then I have Shang-Chi, then Black Widow, and this. And then Eternals is a very distinct
fit. I love the standing for Black Widow. Like someone else is on that island with me.
Yep. Yeah. Man. I was talking to my one of my roommates about it, and he loves Black Widow. My girlfriend loves Black Widow. It's a great movie. Maybe it was just like the feeling of being back in the movies for the first time in a while with the pandemic, but I don't think it was. I think it was just a genuinely enjoyable movie, and I loved it.
Man.
But
that might be the right order.
I preferred Shang-Chi to it. That was my only thing. But what I'll say about this movie is it felt in a lot of ways like a continuation and an origin story at the same time, where it's not like it progressed the origin that we knew. It was more just like the powers that be that were created. This is going to be more of the bedrock of this next phase. And I did really enjoy it as a whole. The one thing I would love to turn to the both of you is that my roommates and I have had a really fascinating discussion where on one hand there's the belief that you have to see the Disney Plus content because of how it ties in with all these different things, and the other hand where it's just like it's fun Easter eggs, it's supplemental, you don't need to go into it. And we're actually doing a test case where one of my roommates is going to be bringing a friend who has not seen any Marvel really in a while and going to see how confused and how with it, like if they're able to suspend their disbelief. I'm not going to say which position I stand on until the two of you talk about it, but I'm very curious.
I would love to answer this. I'm very happy that I saw it. It's specifically, the only thing to me that you need to see is WandaVision, because to me,
what if
that's what I don't do.
Personally, for what?
The Doctor Strange episode, the Agent Carter episode, I think those are the only two actually, but the concept of the multiverse.
Right.
Yeah. The concept of the multiverse. Yeah.
I watched What If right before seeing it. I had seen it before and then stopped and then picked it up right before Doctor Strange. I'm glad I did because it helped. It was like hand in hand of multiple universes and how things can transpire.
If you want to watch something that explores a multiverse, it's What If.
No, yeah. I understand that. But like, I thought this movie explained the multiverse.
Not fine. Explain, explore, I'm saying.
Okay.
Like actually go and see the different capabilities of a multiverse. You know?
I don't know. I watched What If once through, and I honestly wasn't thinking about it as I was watching this film. I think, sure, the Agent Carter stuff, but like, I do think you need to have seen the other movies. Like you need, like, but if you saw just the first Avenger, right? Like you'd know who Peggy Carter is from that. And then if you just, let's pretend you've only watched the MCU movies and you saw like Peggy Carter up there, like, oh, that's cool. The chick who was in Captain America's. And like, I don't know. To me, it comes down to WandaVision more than anything, because if you did not watch WandaVision, I think you're looking at this character. And to me, she's the MVP of the movie. Easily. I think you're looking at this character as like, what is this hokey nonsense? She's killing a whole bunch of people because she wants two fake children. Like, come on, this is crazy. One, she sells it to me at least. And two, I think after having watched WandaVision and you see firsthand this person's mental state is like clearly like whatever's going on. It's not all adding up. I think that makes this what happens in this film where she loses her mind sellable in a way that it would not probably have been sellable to me if I had not seen WandaVision. That would be my two cents.
Yeah. So,
sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
Go ahead, Jeremy. We did that together, didn't we? So this is the first movie where that is true, where you really need to have seen, and I'm saying needed to have seen, because it just, it would make no sense if the last thing you see from Wanda is like her at the end of Endgame, and then all of a sudden she's the villain, and they even reference like, I thought she would come here to talk about what happened at Westview. You have no idea what happened at Westview if you haven't seen WandaVision. And it also leads into my thoughts on the movie, which, again, more extensive. Oz and I got into it because I think this movie leans more toward disappointing than just pure entertaining. But I have no idea if it's our fault for having expectations for a movie, and like the quality of it, like it's fine. Like this is a fine sequel to Doctor Strange, a fine sequel to WandaVision, a very fine entry from Sam Raimi and his filmography.
Yep.
But like Oz and I have it in our late teens, early 20s in the MCU. And like, this was the first time that like you really needed to see what a Disney Plus show developed in Wanda. Now, the feedback to this movie has caused a lot of people to say that the stereotypical trope of the angry woman is employed here. I think it's not that it doesn't make sense. I think the source material is the problematic thing that people are upset with. It's literally right out of the comic what they do. So like, you can't get
too upset with it. By like a demon book or whatever.
That's
the thing. It is.
That's how I explained it, was the Darkhold. Like in the same way that
it's called the Darkhold.
Right. Yeah. The Darkhold corrupts her. And there are references to the Darkhold throughout the movie. Whereas like Doctor Strange in a different universe went on a suicide mission, basically with the Illuminati. Like, you have to kill me because the Darkhold has, like, I'm the most dangerous thing. And Wanda makes the same sacrifice at the end of the movie. I don't know if it's communicated as well. And as somebody who saw this movie 3 freaking times this weekend, I got it by the 3rd time, at least. Like, oh, that's why this happens. That's why that happens. Like, Sinister Strange, when he goes to that universe, literally emphasizes the Darkhold takes its toll. And as we see with Doctor Strange, who then goes into the Darkhold and creates Zombie Strange, one of the coolest set pieces I've ever seen in a Marvel movie. He then, even though the Darkholds in every universe are destroyed, convenient, he gets the third eye at the end, which, like, you know, means he might be a bad guy going forward. I don't know. Oz made, it's funny, we went back and forth on whose fault it is for complaining about expectations. I gotta be honest, I thought this was gonna be the next big like Marvel thing that sets the groundwork for what the next thing is gonna be. Like, this is not an Avengers movie, but we'll leave this the same way we left Civil War with like, oh, Spider-Man, oh, Black Panther. Mm-hmm. I thought like while they were introduced, I have no idea what the plan is for Fantastic Four or how X-Men are gonna be implemented in this universe. And Oz brought up the analogy of like, because I compared Endgame to Mariano Rivera and how like we're just, if you're a Yankee fan, no closure is going to compare to that. No. And we have these unreal expectations of for a closer because of how spoiled we got with Mariano for all that time. And he was like, counterpoint, it's more like if you're a Yankee fan from the late 90s and you got 4 championships in 5 years, now you've got the 2000s where like these are solid 90 win seasons that don't end in championships. And my counter is like, yeah, but just like most Yankee fans, a season that doesn't end in a championship is disappointing because they gave us the expectations. Like, the excellence is what gave you the expectations of it. Now, look, I'm just never going into a Marvel movie with expectations anymore, because if I go in low and it's fine, maybe, oh, this is great. Like, I left Age of Ultron disappointed. And then Ant-Man came out. I was like, hey, that was fun, you know? And I don't know if either of those are different in quality, you know? So
Was this your Age of Ultron?
Ooh, that's interesting.
I enjoyed Age of Ultron in the theater.
Higher than Age of Ultron. But
in terms of the effect where it's like you didn't leave it feeling great about it, but it probably has a pretty important place in terms of the plot line.
I got to be honest, if she's not dead, this is a very forgettable movie for me. If she's able to come back and this is fine, then it's just like you guys said, it's entertaining. It's like, it's not bad. I don't think the complaints I've seen about the filmmaking in this, there's some moments of green screen that I noticed, but really. Like the filmmaking in this like the way where Sam Raimi chooses to put the camera during the hallway, the sewer chase scene. Like, I know it's not like a horror movie, but it's the first time it felt like we were getting horror movie elements in this movie.
I wasn't scared, but that was probably my
say
with her dragging the foot through the
tunnel
or whatever the fuck that was. That was my favorite part of the movie.
It's a monster chase. That's the fucking Shining.
It was just great. What very last thing I just want to say, I never, and a lot, this probably makes me the exception, I don't bring my personal whatever into movies. I know that's probably weird, but like I come in and I shut my brain off. Like I don't think about like my wife or my kids usually or anything of that shit, my job or anything like of that nature. In this film, I found myself as she was reconciling with what she's doing all this to basically get her imaginary kids who she made up. And I started to actually think about the fact, like how I feel as a father. And like, if my kids were like taken away from me, like, would it matter to me? Would I be able to like process like these are imaginary kids? Like if you're a parent and you like, you fall in love with your kids, which every parent does, you know, at some point, sometimes immediately, like you will do, like, you can't imagine life without them. And I could see it driving someone with superpowers, maybe even the most powerful superpowers in the universe. If you go by like, you know, comic book lore with Scarlet Witch and everything, I could see that driving a person like that crazy. So that part got to me actually. And it was a sell for me.
The biggest defense I made of the story choice, like the script choice to make her the bad guy, is just like a reminder. And I went back and rewatched the last two episodes of WandaVision after seeing the movie and then being like, was this turn justified? Like, she's not over it. There's no real closure. She's like apologetic to what happened to the people of Westview, but she wasn't like, it was almost like, I feel bad for what my grief did to you, but I'm still grieving, you know? Yeah. And this movie even has that scene. The first time we see her where she's with her kids, they're making chocolate something. And then she wakes up and like, that's what grief looks like. Like I'm glad this movie caught that too. Because it also has that line about how dreams are escapes into or visions of what's happening in another universe. So think about every dream you've had when you're going through something and imagine if that actually was like all your problems are gone in this vision of something happening to a different version of you. And then you wake up and holy shit, in this version, I have to still deal with it. I thought that was actually conveyed perfectly in this movie.
It was conveyed because you got to sell it and she's good, man.
Oh, the performance is outstanding.
She's really good.
I didn't think it was as much of a leap as some people seem to make. The problematic nature, I just like, if that's how you feel, I'm not going to tell somebody that you can't feel that way. I thought it wasn't as big of a leap for me watching it. Jeremy, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a leap. I thought it was just a step. And the reason it was a step was just to go back to the other conversation. I truly believe that you have to watch some of the content beforehand. It's not.
Was that your argument that you're saying you have to watch the Disney Plus shows in order to enjoy the MCU now?
It was two against one with me being part of the two saying that it's really good to have this pre-existing knowledge. And my thing was like, the reason why Disney is also doing this is because they are a capitalist enterprise that wants you to subscribe to
turn out stupid.
And if you do that, if they tie in all these things where it's like, hey, did you miss that? That was kind of important. You needed to see that. Then it's a different thing. And then it's a way to transform the entire universe. And you know, like I said, the what if was enjoyable, but it also kind of helped illustrate for me that how you can have these multiple universes. And WandaVision, of course, you need to know it. I didn't think you had to see Captain Marvel in order to understand the switch up.
Yeah.
But like
Monica Rambeau,
But it's a nice little Easter egg in that sense of having Monica. And then also it's fascinating too because Monica's daughter is in WandaVision.
And like I mixed it up. It's Maria Rambeau that's in Captain Marvel. And Monica's the
daughter.
Right. Yeah, so having Maria and then Monica in that. So it all ties into each other in some way. That part you didn't need to know, but it was fun if you did. The other things, like, you're just going to be lost. You can just kind of go with it. But yeah, if you see this woman who doesn't have her children, and also it wasn't real, why wasn't it real? How did she lose her children in this hypothetical situation? Why is she attacking herself in another universe? I don't really get that's
the why mindset. Is she grieving her imaginary kids and not Vision? Like, that's the biggest one. Like, the last thing we've seen from her in the movies is she lost Vision. And now, like, the whole motivation for this is like, I need my kids. And it's like, when did you have kids? Who are these twins? And they're laid out in WandaVision.
Well, which Check didn't clear for
Vision. So Paul Bettany, unfortunately.
Yeah. Who's kids? I don't know if you saw this. They think he's the lamest superhero ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's too bad.
Poor guy. Dang. That happened to Ben Affleck when he did Batman. Like, he said originally. So he said the only reason he took Batman was because, like, you get to tell your kid that your dad is Batman. And then the first Halloween after the first Batman v Superman story, like with him in it, came out, his kid went as the Flash for Halloween. And he was like, oh, so I did all of this for nothing, you know? So
sorry, Ben.
Yeah. Sorry, Ben Affleck. You're doing perfectly fine.
Right, he's
doing
okay. I don't feel
too well bad. Done on the rehab tour, buddy.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey guys, quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need with customizable orders every week. You can add extra proteins and sides, change up the serving size when you have guests, or just double up on your favorite recipes so your box works harder for you. You can easily change your delivery days or food preferences or skip a week whenever you need. Feeding the whole family has never been easier with larger box sizes for more servings and more savings. HelloFresh also offers convenient, contact-free delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make, with steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips, so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. HelloFresh is 30% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store. Plus, you skip the checkout lines. Try our quick and easy meals, which include 15 to 20 minute dinners, breakfast on the go, and 10 minute lunches in HelloFresh Market. Perfect for your busy schedule. Enjoy restaurant quality meals for less in the comfort of your own home. HelloFresh's gourmet recipes like balsamic fig sirloin are over 72% cheaper than an average restaurant meal. Look, guys, I don't have to tell you how busy I can be with all the work I do for Nick's Film School, as well as my show Final Review. My fiance is just as busy, and when that question comes up every night, what do you want for dinner? Rarely do we both have answers. Well, we've actually been customers of HelloFresh for over a year, and we're thrilled when we found out about the sponsorship. Not only is the food delicious, but it's convenient to make and takes away that simple anxiety of what you're going to have for dinner that night. They send you a week's worth of meals, you cook them, you prepare them, you eat them, and then by the weekend, a new box for the following week shows up. It's that simple. Go to HelloFresh.com/FilmSchool16 and use promo code FilmSchool16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/FilmSchool16 and use promo code FilmSchool16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
We love love here at Nick's Film School.
We do love love. And we still have Donovan Mitchell, even if we're not trading for him today.
During the pod, if you are able to remember this callback, Jeremy went, I'm saving that for spoilers because these two reacted to something. John said the great writer Mark Berman or referenced something like that. And I texted them in the Zoom chat, maybe in Earth 616 version of Mark Berman. Definitely not this one.
Wait, I thought we're 6-1. Reality is 616.
We're definitely not in the same world as the MCU. They don't just have like eye monsters.
Oh yeah, that's true.
During a wedding, and people just look out the window and like, oh look, something cool. You know?
Can I tell you that was
that version is basically Florida. You know.
I don't know what this says about me. The only part of the movie that bothered me a little bit as I was watching was like the eye monster thing happened. And I was like, why is no one making a big
deal? Yeah, they're just watching. Just watching. This is a normal everyday. Every Saturday. And
like you see the bus get torn up, you're like, guess I'll walk. Okay.
Exactly. Sorry, the field trip's canceled. Doctor Strange is fighting an interdimensional demon over on 42nd Street.
That was the only thing that really bothered me. Anyway, okay. Enough about this. This was good. This was good. I'm happy we ended on some strange talk. I want to see the movie again. Andrew, anything else from you?
Yes. Happy birthday, John Macri.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, at least when you're hearing this, right? 5'10. Been hot since 5'10.83. Is that still in your Twitter profile?
I don't know.
Happy birthday, buddy. We love you. I wish Tibbs had he was on a Cameo because we would have broke the bank for you. But unfortunately, Tibbs doesn't know how to use an iPhone. So
I'm happy he doesn't. That would make me upset if Tibbs was on Cameo.
Really? It would.
Yeah.
Because he's deep in the film.
He needs to be in the
VCR.
He doesn't have time for that bullshit.
How can an OnlyFans guy?
Jesus, Jeremy.
Also something I'm happy does not exist.
We would have gotten it for you. You never know.
How can I get Taj to play more minutes next year?
I need to ice.
Yes, ice.
Welcome to Cameo. He's got ice. Oh, God. Okay, images. Well, 7-2, by the way, Jeremy. It's 7-2. Oh, good Lord, Rain.
Well, it was nice to make the playoffs for the first time in 5 years.
Thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
Even happy though I hate my birthday.
John, to the co-hostess with the mostest. Mm. Happy birthday. Listen, savor your 30s while you can.
1 year left.
You got listen, live it to the fullest. And age is just a number anyway. So
unless you're 40, then you're
fine. Unless you're 40.
They say that 40 is the new 40, John.
That's true. They did say that.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Jeremy. You guys are great.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. Alrighty. And thank you, everybody out there, for checking out another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this. Thank you, Jeremy. This was another great
one. Hold on, Jeremy.
I have one thing. So on Wednesday.
Okay.
We have a... Is this okay?
God, I can't believe I forgot. My bad, Jeremy.
All good.
We have a gigantic KFS announcement to make. Jeremy, take it away.
So this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes.
I believe we said. Doing something a little different, excited about. I want to hear from you. So I'm going to be live streaming and we're basically going to have a chat about the Knicks, salary cap, any questions you have. I mean, they can be trades. They can be confusing things. They can be anything about the salary, like whatever it might be that you have questions for me on. It also doesn't even have to be Knicks related. Like, I'm here, happy to answer them, but I wanted to provide some sort of way to do that because I know I've thrown so much at people that, and there are things that even trip me up. So I can imagine that someone who has not wasted their time pouring through a document that is just very dense, even when it's like pared down for people who are idiots like me, but pretend to not be idiots. So I want to convey that knowledge to you the best I can. So in that sense, please join me Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube. We'll also be available on all of our feeds for podcasting the next day, but I'm really excited about it. Should be a lot of fun. And let's talk shop.
And what's it called,
I should
Jeremy?
Also say what the name of it is. Yes. So the name is Cap Rules Everything Around Me.
Cream! Get the money. Dollar bill. There you go.
It is...
shout out to Wu-Tang.
Yeah. And Staten Island.
Mm.
Yeah.
Staten I was trying to make work episode. A Staten Island joke in there. I can't think of one.
Well, I already did by saying.
Dang.
I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to watching you as you do that. And I'm going to try to think of a question.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
First time, long time.
Yeah. Jeremy, why do you hate RJ? That's going to be my super one. Chat on Wednesday.
I like it.
Why do you hate Donovan Mitchell?
Why? Yeah.
All right. Everybody, make sure you tune into that. Again, that is 6 p.m. on Wednesday night on our Knicks Film School YouTube channel. So go ahead over there. And if you can't make it live, you can catch that in podcast form the next day. I will say again, thank you, Jeremy. Again, thank you, Andrew. And again, thank you for checking out another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. We will be back with you with another episode later this week, in addition to the podcast version of Jeremy's show. So stay tuned for that. Until then, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon.